for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday morning, December 29th, 1999, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. The speaker for this evening is Dale Copeland from Bengal, Oklahoma. This session is already in progress. Thank you.
That's the purpose. When people come here and they want prayer for deliverance for this or that, and that's fine. But what is your reason for deliverance? So you can go back home and do your own thing? That's not the reason for deliverance. The reason for deliverance is that you can serve the Lord to a greater ability than you did before. That you have an ability to walk in areas that you can be a service to the King for the kingdom. And I often say to people, you come here for deliverance, and that's wonderful, but did you come with the right reason? With the right reason. I know we have problems. We want to be set free. We want to be delivered from them. But when we're set free and delivered from the problem, are we serving the Lord better? Are we desiring to walk before Him in holiness? Scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, years ago I used to read that, and thought always went, that's four places in the Scripture you'll find that. And I used to read that, and I used to think, well, that's nice, but God knows nobody can do that. That's not what it says. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. It doesn't say, do you want to be? It doesn't say, you should try to be. It just says, be. And that should be our purpose for deliverance and in life. First of all, is to be a holy, righteous before the Lord. And then as we come and make that a determination in our life, then that we can serve the Lord Jesus in the kingdom. Serve Him in the kingdom and for the kingdom. And that's our calling. And we're coming down day by day. We're drawing closer to that time when the kingdom of God shall become a reality in the earth. It has always been a reality in the earth. Ever since Mount Sinai, the kingdom has been established. And Scripture says that at first it was a little rock that came down the hill, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And over the years it's been growing, but it's going to multiply in greatly in the near future. It'll multiply in two areas. Satan will come down with all his fury, but God's kingdom will arise in the land. And I want to be part of that kingdom. That's my desire. That's my purpose. And I trust that's yours. Now you listen as Dale teaches us this morning, because he's going to show you some areas how you can come to a better walk in the kingdom. Brother Dale.
First of all, I want to say that I am grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to stand before you, to share with you some of the things that the Lord has shared with us. I realize that maybe some people, maybe no man taught us some things that we know, but I promise you we wouldn't have been there for God to tell us if somebody hadn't helped us along the way.
Amen.
So nobody stands on their own.
That's right.
As if just them and God done this. Me and God together didn't do anything without you and other people that has been a strength and lifted me up and pushed me and helped me and edified me to a place where I was in a place where I could hear God. You know, I didn't just show up all so I could hear God and He could give me a revelation. Somebody helped me get there. And so, you know, it's... We've none of us. It's kind of like we get out here and we drive on the highways and stuff, and we never really think about it that each generation hadn't done anything really to. When my kids started driving, they hadn't paid any taxes to get to drive on that road. And besides that, all the taxes that I'd pay as high taxes as I've paid in past years when I was in business and made large sums of money, all the taxes that I paid wouldn't have purchased a half a mile of highway. And we can go from one end of this United States to the other. And so it just doesn't take very long in the natural realm to see that it takes everybody to have something better. And it's certainly that way in the spirit, that it takes a many-membered body for things to function the way they're supposed to function. And so we do need one another in a desperately bad way. We desperately need one another. I'm going to have to regroup just a little bit, because it'll take a lot longer if I try to, what I could have just thrown down and let you see, and I'd pick it back up, you know, I'd have to draw out. But I want to draw right quick just a small thing of what I drawed yesterday. And you that were here will understand this quickly, and you that wasn't, if you'll get the tape of yesterday, you'll catch up today. It's very, to me, it's very important. Matter of fact, I talked about getting some reference points. The Bible said that Jesus, it said it like this. It said that He declared, God declared the ending from the beginning. So if He declared the ending from the beginning, then it would really be profitable to us to understand the beginning. When He started and what He done and when He created creation to start with, it would be profitable to us to understand what was going on in that world, that cosmos, and to it would be very profitable for us to understand what happened. But how many of you know that that world from Adam to Noah perished? 2 Peter, we done went through it. I don't want to teach that again, but it perished, and we're in the third world, or the third. Now, there's been, God has made covenants with individuals, but when He made covenants for the earth, that affects the whole earth in the sense, not just a tribe or not just a family, but that will affect the whole earth. There's only been three major covenants that, or cosmoses that God has spoken towards and to, and we understand that that the first one, from Adam to Noah, 2 Peter said, the heavens being of old, the earth standing in the water, now the water, the world or the cosmos that then was, perished. We know that was a world that perished. But I said yesterday, every world has a heaven and an earth. It has a spiritual order or place that God is working in, a natural way to manifest it. But that one perished, and but what Adam done has affected and is affecting humanity today.
Yes.
And so when I said Adam fell, he fell from a place of fellowship, a place of unity, a place of oneness with God. I'm going to ask some questions here and seeing how that I had them wrote down here for you to be able to write them down, but didn't realize it's so hard to read this, trying to look at it like that. Yeah, that would be a blessing. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, that's just quite easy to read like that now, isn't it? All right. I asked a question. I said, when did man get lost? See, everybody, the church world today says we want to get people saved. We want to get people saved. And the Lord asked me, saved from what? Because the church world has always taught us saved to heaven and saved from hell. And as God began to deal with my heart, because I found some reference points, I found a way to line up some things and found out which way God was going and what God's purpose was. And if you can get a couple of reference points, I'm telling you something, you can get a straight line way on out there, you see. And God does not turn and change, and He, you know, when you follow God, He ain't going to turn this corner and then this corner. And He's not like the highways where we come from and, you know, and around in here. You know,
He just levels out the smooth place, the rough places and the high places. This is a highway of holiness. And God, what He started, He will finish. And He, matter of fact, I'll say it like this, He has finished it. And it's up to us to lay hold and to walk in that which He has provided. You know, I mean, He's the table's ready. Come and dine. That's what it amounts to. The food's been prepared. It's all been there. It's all there. And we act like it's God that's holding us back. But if He wouldn't withhold His only Son, I don't think He'd hold anything if He gave that. Let me tell you something. We talk about the Holy Spirit, we'll have to start understanding some things different. I realize if I had a pair of yellow sunglasses on, everything I seen would be tainted yellow. And we all, you can't help it. You look through in the Word of God with the understanding that and the background that we've come from. Can't help it. And so every time we talk about a doctrine or an understanding, we already got it tainted or colored with our color. So if somebody else comes along and they're wearing blue sunglasses, they just ain't going to quite describe the color and see things the way we see it. I'll give you a different example. If you was looking through a little bitty hole and somebody else is looking through from a different angle, you see things different. You see different things. I set up an amplifier. Well, let me just say like this. Let me just set this guitar here just a minute right quick. Picture's worth a thousand words. If you think that you don't need some ministry to tell you some things that's contrary to what you're saying or what you've ever seen, I'll show you the importance of it right now. If you had never seen a guitar before, I'm going to set the guitar right here. And I tell people over here, tell me what you see. No, you wouldn't know it's a guitar. If you'd never seen it, you'd say, well, I see a piece of wood that's flat. I see some silver keys up here. I see a string and a piece of leather about 6 inches long, 8, 12, maybe 12 inches long. And basically, that's about it. Well, that sure don't describe no guitar. But then I say, okay, brother, what do you see? He said, well, I see a piece of wood. I see something slick there. We know it's a pick guard. But I see some thing. I see some strings. I see a long piece of leather. I see some silver things up here. Them strings is wrapped around. You know what? If people would describe articulately both things, what they see, somebody can build what was just described and you all would see this. But neither one of them saw the same thing. But they're talking about the same thing, right? Neither one of them saw the same thing, but they're talking. I'm telling you something. We're incomplete without the body of Christ. We've got to have one another. And, you know, I don't come to these meetings with a closed mind. And there's things that I hear that I don't understand. I haven't understood it that way. But I want to tell you something. There's times that I've come here and I've heard things and I went home and you know what? I see some things that way now. You know what? What I'm seeing is I'm seeing the picture get more complete. When they describe it over here and they describe it over here and then there's somebody else, there's some of you that might not have saw anything but this part. Because that's part of it. I mean, you can't put this and this, just have a flat board with strings. Come find out we've got something here. You see, I mean, it for us to get the Bible said it like this, and I quoted this scripture yesterday. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word, not by just the ones that we got, but by every word that proceeds. There is a word that is proceeding. There is, I get it from over here. I get it from over here. I get it from over there. I get it from God because He's given it to them. Them over here, these over here, He's given it to me. And as we listen and observe and hear, we begin to see the purpose of God. And I asked the question, I said, when did man get lost? What was he lost from? Because you've got to understand, when Adam was in the garden with God before he sinned, heaven was not an issue and hell was not an issue. Now, you got to agree with that. Adam wasn't wanting to go to heaven, and he wasn't scared of hell. Heaven and hell was not an issue. That was not what he was lost from. Heaven was not what he was lost from. So when people talk about being lost, the church world today draws people and says, get ready to go to heaven, get ready to go to heaven. How about come to Jesus? I'm telling you something. He that lives in your heart, how many of you has God living in your heart? Well, how if you went to the farthest star, across the moon, past the other galaxies, and said, all right, we went to heaven, how much closer will you have gotten to God than what's in your heart? Where can you go to get closer to God than in your heart? People, you know what people say? Brother Moody, they say, well, that's just His Spirit. And I see the cloaks of religion that's on our lives and on our minds and blinds us, because quickly I say, but God is Spirit. What do you mean, just His Spirit? There was nothing that is seen that didn't come out of Spirit. I'm telling you something, if anything is a figment of an imagination, it's you and me. Because everything visible come out of the invisible realm, not the other way around. The invisible realm is the more real realm, if there is such thing as a more real. But man has got a visible, physical image of the thing, the spiritual things of God. Now, I'm not wanting to confuse us. I'm just trying to say here, when Adam was in fellowship, when did man get lost? I'll tell you when he got lost. God told him, said, the day you eat, you can make your notes over there for Genesis chapter 3. Well, it wasn't in Genesis 3 that he said that, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, I believe, the eyes of them both were open. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let me just go on. God said this. He said, of all the trees of the garden, you can freely eat. You realize what causes rebellion? God gave them everything that was there, and only one thing He kept away, and that's what they wanted. My daddy used to tell us kids, don't be so curious all the time that you cross the boundaries of obedience to satisfy your curiosity, that you cross the boundaries of that which is right to satisfy your curiosity. We see people doing that in illicit sex and everything else nowadays, don't we? And he always told us a little story with it. It seemed like a weird story to me when I was a little boy. But I see the wisdom of the story. He said there were some people that came that needed something to eat to this home. And I guess during the time that Dad was growing up and things, that was a very real situation at times. People were hungry at times during part of the latter end of the Depression and things of this nature. And he said people came to the house, and the man of the house said, you know, his wife spread the table and put food on the table, but there was one bowl there that is on a platter, and the bowl was upside down. He said, you eat anything you want, but whatever you do, don't touch this bowl. Don't pick it up. Don't turn it over. Just leave this bowl alone. You know, that's the only thing they really wanted to find out then, was why did he not want them to touch that bowl. So they begin to eat, you know, and the longer they eat, all their eyes drawn to that bowl. Why? That's kind of like Adam and Eve, wasn't it? All these other things. They was even ignoring the tree of life with their eyes on that tree of knowledge of good and evil. All the other good things they could eat of had their eye, you know, as they was doing their things, just stuck on that. So pretty soon this man looked around, told his family, said, I'm going to find out what's under that bowl. So he picked the bowl up and a little mouse run out. Couldn't catch it, you know. He escaped. The man come in a little later and said, well, I want to see how great, if you was really grateful for what I've given you. If you honored my house and honored my family. Walked over and picked up the bowl, but the mouse was gone. You know, that sounds like a silly little old story, but there is a mighty principle in that. Of we cross barriers, we get curious about things, and we cross barriers when God puts a little taboo up. Well, we want to experience what He's trying to keep from us. And I see young people doing that. I see families doing that. I see the desire of men who think their marriage has become boring. They do that. And women. To such a point and to such a degree that it even gets to be with men with men, women with women. All of these things. Now, what I'm saying is, what did man get lost from? God said, the day you eat, you're going to die. And the day that they disobeyed, I said, when did man get lost? The day that they disobeyed, they got lost. Now, the next question is, what does it mean to be lost? Have you ever been lost? Anybody ever been lost? I'm talking about lost. I've been lost. I've been out in the woods. That, you know, I was raised in the country, and my goodness, when I was 6 years old, my dad put me on a horse. We had open range, and, you know, I'd ride 14 miles back in the woods and things with a sack of corn on. We'd scatter corn for our hogs and things like this, and to keep them in an area, we'd keep them fed, and it was just timber, you know, just woods, and valleys and creeks and streams, what, you know, a lot of people would think is paradise today in the cities, for sure. Well, I grew up, I was privileged to grow up in that way, but I tell you, I have gotten so lost before that there is not a more empty feeling that you know no one knows where you are at to come and help you, and you don't know which direction, and you have already... I'll tell you something. You don't think you're lost until you've walked around a while. Until you started searching a while. Until you look over here, and that's not the answer. And you look over here, and that's not the answer. What does it mean to be lost? I'm telling you something. Let's get this thing where Adam got lost. I'm telling you something. You don't know the horrendous place that humanity is today because they have been born with the nature of sin. They don't know. We don't know how terrible mortality is because it's all we've known. But if you had ever tasted, you had ever walked in the life of God, if you'd ever... As Adam was born, God said it. He was created, and I done dealt with yesterday with it in His image and likeness to function. He was created with God's moral character and things, and His likeness was to be able to function like God in this dimension, in this realm, a physical realm. You got to ask, why did God even make a man and put him here? Well, there's a very good explanation for that, because God's purpose for our bodies, our physical bodies, was to be able to manifest His glory in this dimension.
Yes.
Through. The Bible, Romans chapter 8, says the glory, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. That means made known, made seen. Whose glory? God's glory, the invisible, of the invisible God made known in this dimension through us. That was His purpose. And man got lost from that purpose. So, when we talk about... See, this, it almost sounds like, Brother Moody, that this is some strange doctrine from what the religious world has made this thing. They have totally lost what God started this thing for. And it's almost like God's got a whole different agenda nowadays. But He don't, because He's the same. yesterday, today, and forever. So that means if I can get some reference points lined out, it'll be the same straight line when? Forever. Man, God has got a purpose, and He changes not. You see, He changes not. So the enemy ain't made God scratch His plan, wad His piece of paper up, and take His marbles and go home. You know, it just ain't happened that way. But God is dealing with a man now to bring him back. And you know what? It didn't take very long. Man, when man fell, you got to... I don't have the time to go in there. It says, and then men begin to... They begin to search after God after about three... What is it? Seth's? A few generations there down. It says, and then men begin to seek after God again. That, when Adam fell out in the garden, man, they just said, pleasure in sin. The taboos. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. Cain, we understand what happened to him. There were so many things, and I don't know if I'll get to draw them all out. I've got them on the chart here, but there were so many things that was going on that... That if we're not aware of the thing of what Adam lost, it didn't take very long. I mean, you can have pleasure as long as you still feel good. But I suspect old Adam got about 700 year old. He might have started slowing down. And said, "Hey, something's happened here. Something's wrong." Now he already knew that something was wrong. But it was starting to manifest in the physical body. You see, he didn't live a 1,000-year day with God. He said, the day you eat, you'll die. And that's the day he got lost, was the day that he ate. But now, I understand about the spiritual, but I'm telling you something. Everything that happens in the spirit must manifest itself in the natural. And if we will stay with that understanding, and the invisible things of God are clearly seen. But let me tell you something: the invisible things of Satan are clearly seen by the things that are made. They will what is spiritual manifests and reveals itself in the physical through us. All right, what does it mean to be lost? I can imagine the hopelessness of the Adam family. When they searched, not the Adams family. Like I say, I've been lost, and I've everywhere I went, I was lost coon hunting one night. I was lost all night long, 10 degrees above zero. Me and my brother was lost, and I mean we was lost. I didn't know it, but we run in on a ridge. I thought we knew where we was at. But we run in on a ridge that wasn't 6 foot wide. And there's a whole mile around that thing. There's just big, deep gullies all the way around that area. And I'd been raised in there. And I don't know. It's just one part I hadn't saw in all the thousands and thousands of acres that I thought I'd been over all of it. But our dogs got after a bobcat instead of a coon. And, you know, we took off running, and we was trying to stay up with them. And when we run in, every time we'd come to a spot, I'd tell him, I said, "We didn't cross no gully. No big, you know, real steep." I said, and so, you know, we'd go walk a mile the other way, you know. We didn't cross no. It's cloudy, couldn't see no stars. I know about the moss on the north side of the trees. But we'd go north and we'd hit a gully. Pretty soon we decided we didn't know where we was at. But at 8 o'clock the next morning we got out. Like I say, now, it wasn't so bad with him because I had somebody with me. But can you imagine what it means to be lost? You feel like you're the only one. As if everybody on the whole earth would just... I'll tell you something. There's something about, man, we need to share our joys, our sorrows. God's created us in a unique way. You know why He put that in us? Because we need to share that with Him. He made us to share that with Him. To have fellowship. That's what I'm saying. Now, what does it mean to be lost? Then what was man lost from? What was he lost from? He was lost from the life of God. He was lost from the voice of God. He was lost from the favor of God. He was lost from fellowship. He was lost from health. He lost a lot of things, didn't he, when he sinned? And it's all of that is concluded in this. He fell into death. A realm that life is not there. The life of God. He fell into death. I said yesterday he didn't fall out of a tree. He didn't fall out of the sky. He stood on the ground. He was standing on terra firma when he fell. And from the outside, at the moment, you might not could have saw that he fell. But he fell a long way. He fell a long way from the purpose of God. But thanks be to Jesus Christ. My other reference point, the last Adam. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. He tasted death. Brother Jack made a statement last night. The Lord shared this with me concerning the death that Jesus tasted. The Lord shared it with me like this. He started tasting death when he was born and laid in a manger. He tasted the death realm. He was born mortal. You know what the word mortal means? It means dying. Not death. It's not a corpse. A mortal is not someone who has died. That's a corpse. They're not mortal. But a mortal is someone who is walking around subject to death or dying. And Jesus tasted death. He tasted the death realm for 33 and a half years, and on the cross, it was finished. He knew what it was to become weary. He knew what it was. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." He knew what it was to talk with, to live as a fallen man, except he knew no sin.
Amen.
But he did not take upon himself the nature, Hebrews says, of angels, but he took upon himself the nature of man or the seed of Abraham. In other words, he came to save us, and he came to walk and show us and to deliver us out of the mess that Adam fell in. Jesus came to deliver us out of. Let me just quickly say it like this. Adam broke it and Jesus fixed it.
Yes.
Now that's very simplified, but that's really what happened. But most people, and especially religion, will never let him completely fix it. They're going to keep something wrong all the time. They're always going to have another day. It's always another day. It's been another day for 2,000 years. It's always another day. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And it's full. The church is full of it. I've been full of it. Always putting off to tomorrow that God was really going to be mighty and great tomorrow. He's mighty and great today. He's all-powerful today. Matter of fact, let me turn to 1 John just a minute. 1 John chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1. Let me see here. Verse 18. Little children. By the way, this is 2,000 years ago that this was written. Got to get the setting of it. Because, see, we read it today and act like it was wrote yesterday. John said 2,000 years ago, little children, it's the last time. Matter of fact, that time there, that word time there, brings it down smaller than that. He said it's the last hour. That's what that means. It's not the last day. It was the last hour 2,000 years ago. I found out something. Sometimes the truths of God, they come along bundled in ways that they just won't fit in my pocket of understanding. And I try to stuff them in and fold them over. And, you know, we take the Bible said like this, we wrest the Scriptures to our own destruction. That's what it amounts to. So we can make them fit in our understanding. We're going to make them yellow if we got yellow glasses on if it kills us. You know, we're going to make them look and agree with what we already see if we're not careful. But I'm telling you something, if you try to make everybody describe that guitar like the back of it's showing, you ain't never going to see no guitar. We have to listen, learn, meditate. Sharon, earlier, before the service started, Scripture said, study to show yourself approved. That word does not mean go through this Bible and look, hunt up Scriptures, get in my Strong's Concordance, or get on my computer. That word does not mean that. It means to meditate, to show myself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Matter of fact, let me re-quote that because I quoted it wrong. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not to one another, but unto God. Because this is, you know, we're here for His purposes, and we're created for His purposes. We wasn't created here so we could build ourselves a nice future and have ourselves a nice car and a nice home and get nice clothes and thank God for all that kind of stuff. But that's not your purpose. And if you get them mixed up, you're trading the ashes for the treasure. I promise you, there's a lot of people given ashes they think is their treasures. But they're given ashes for treasure today. The treasure is the life of God. The treasure is fellowship with God. The treasure is oneness with God. Where did Jesus, He said that where I am, you can be also. Where was He when He said that? He didn't say that where I'm going to be. He said that where I am. John chapter 14. That where I am. I'll tell you where He was at. He was in unity with the Father. He was in fellowship with the Father. He had what Adam lost. And He wants us to be there with Him. But we don't want to try to fold up our truths and things like this. As the truth of God comes along, we don't want to fold it up and try to make it fit into our... I've learned some things. I've learned when the truth shows up and it don't agree with my present understanding of something, don't damage the truth. Our spirits know. I'm telling you something. Before that, they quickened me, but I couldn't go prove it in the Scripture yet because I didn't know first time I'd heard it. But there was my knower in me knew it was truth. Now, as like I say, if the knower knows, but the mind don't, if we start messing with what the knower knows to make it fit the mind, we're going to damage some things. Actually, we're going to malfunction. That's what man's doing today. And even people who have accepted Christ are malfunctioning because we haven't known God's purpose, and we're not aware of how to function as He functions. And any time you use anything for something that it's not created for, there's going to be some problems. I've given an example a lot of times. If you take a light bulb and try to use it as a hammer, it just wasn't made for that, so you've got destruction. Well, when men tries to go their own way, please their own self, they wasn't made for that. So, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and went their own way, they wasn't made for that, so something malfunctioned. It's like you try to put, you know, apple juice in your car tank. You may like apple juice, say, but I like it, so I'm going to put it in my car anyway. Well, it wasn't designed for that, so you can do it, but you'll be stopped right down the road a little ways. If you ever get started. You may have enough gas in the line to get you a ways. Matter of fact, you know, we see some ministries and some things going great guns. Boy, they you know, we just kind of plodding along and they with all of the revelry and all of the success of life and you think, my goodness, and they put orange juice or apple juice in their tank. But, you know, just going down the road just a few more years or this or that, and you'll see that they've crashed and burned. There's sorrow and heartache and destruction all around them. I'll tell you something. You can't do it any other way than God's way without malfunctioning. And That includes me. That includes you. Anyone else. But the next question here is, what was man, if what was he lost from? We found out that he was lost from fellowship, from unity, from the life, the Spirit of God. And what was the result of being lost? The result of being lost is death. The result of being lost is death. If I can quickly, I don't know how much understanding them that listen to this tape is going to get when I'm drawing on a board. But I would say this. When the house of Israel, when men come running to Peter, and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They was talking about to be saved. I don't think they was saying, "What can we do to miss hell and go to heaven?" Because their heaven was behind the veil in that holiest of all. That's where God was. That's where God dwelt. See, don't let religion fence you in to and lock you in so you can only see through one from one angle of something. What heaven has been made to be to most all of us, what I was raised with it, is far from the abode of God. It's where God dwells. That's what the word means. It means it's a high place. That doesn't mean directional. It means, help me out, somebody, dimensional. I give the example like this. The earth is in a shape like this. There's Brother Moody, right here. Here I am, right here. Here's Sister Mildred, right here. You know, we got United States, China, we got all four corners here. And tell every one of them, oh, by the way, this one down here, he's standing this way. That's what I should have, yeah. So, tell every one of them, say, "Point up!" He throws his arm. I say, "Boys, y'all's confused. Or you confused me. Y'all don't know which way's up. The one here says, don't you know up's this way? The one in China says, don't you know up's that way? Their up's my down." You could make a country and western song out of something like that, couldn't you? I don't want to give no country and western songwriters no ideas. There's enough trash out there. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is anytime you... I'm just going to give us some principle because there ain't enough time to teach all that I had to say. I'm going to throw some corn out and go home and grind it up, make some bread. Anytime you talk about anything coming out of heaven, it always comes down. But do you realize the guy in China, his heaven would be down here, and if it come down, it'd be our going up. So it has nothing to do with directional. It has to do with spirit. This is a spiritual book. We're a spiritual creation in the sense that God made man in His image and likeness, and man lost that ingredient when he sinned. That's something I didn't cover, but he lost the ingredient called life, or the nature of God. And he took on himself a beast nature. Jesus said it like this, "You're of your father the devil, you generation of vipers." Took on himself the nature of the one they followed, didn't he? And when they quit following God and they lost that, well, when we talk about heaven, we're talking about the abode of God. Lost, what does it mean to be saved? If Adam got lost, and by the way, I left a gap here on purpose because I want to tell you something. Jesus made a door out of this dimension into this dimension. Jesus made a way. He tore the prison gates down of that which kept us captive. But if I'm going to talk about being saved, then I got to know what I was lost from. Here, man was lost. Lost equals separation from God. I won't write it all because It takes too long. Lost equals trouble. Lost equals hell. Lost equals sorrow. Lost equals hate. Lost equals darkness. Lost equals sickness. Lost equals captivity. Lost equals blindness. All of them things is things that have come as a result of lost, of what Adam lost. Because we're dealing with a God of purpose. Can't never forget that. If you do, we'll get out on over here on some religious thing that's more of a Western type thing or a recent type ideal of things and forget that this didn't just start with us. It didn't start 100 years ago. It didn't just start with Jesus 2,000 years ago. God had a plan and a purpose from the beginning of this thing that He will not detour from, and Jesus came to set back right. The Bible said He came to destroy or to render powerless the works of the devil. All right? Now, let me give you versus this. When I said lost, it versus saved. It's opposite of saved. We have separation here under lost. We have fellowship under saved. We have trouble under lost. We have peace under saved. We have hell under lost. We have heaven under saved. We have sorrow under lost. We have joy under saved. We have sickness under lost. We have health under saved. You realize that there's a lot more to do with being... There's a lot of people been birthed, but they say they've been saved, but they're walking in a lost dimension. That's what we're gonna see some things. I had to rearrange my doctrine of saved and lost. Because by the way, I'll say, well, yeah, but you know, if you're saved, you die, you get to go to heaven. This is so much bigger than that. The purpose God made a man was to demonstrate His glory here. It ain't bringing God glory for people to die and go to heaven. Amen. He's just going to have to bring them back.
That's right.
Man's always wanting something God didn't want. He didn't want them to have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what they wanted. He don't want them to go to heaven. He wants the kingdom of heaven to... It said, Thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come. He's wanting to bring His authority, His realm of dimension and power here and manifest here, and everybody's wanting to do it opposite. Just like God, just like in the garden. Religion's the same today. I'm telling you, the serpent was more than some people may believe he's a snake just crawling around, but he was an enchanter. He had a message. It was a false message. He was a false doctrine preacher, if you would, teacher. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of serpenthood. Got a whole generation of them. Generation of vipers. And when we start seeing some things, people say, oh, well, that, you know, that's your security. Let me tell you something. Fellowship with God is your security. Unity with God is your security. If God made a man to demonstrate His glory, and I am not demonstrating that in any area, I didn't even put mortality and life on there. I didn't say that one. Do you realize, I said it yesterday, mortality is a mutation. It is abnormal, absolutely. That's part of what happened when Adam fell. I have to ask you a question. How many of you think Adam would have died if he hadn't sinned? Well then, Romans chapter 5 says, sin came into the world. Which one? By that one. But obviously it was also the whole creation world. Sin came into the world by one man. And death by sin. I'll tell you something, Sister Miller. I don't believe in preaching half of a gospel.
Amen.
I'm not going to limit the power of what Jesus done on the cross. And let's don't say that we confess some things and say some things that we're not demonstrating and manifesting. And I've just learned, I'll tell you something. There's something working in me to such a point, I'm ready to just pull my religious covers off and quit covering myself up by them. If it's not manifesting in my life, then I'm lacking it and I need it.
Yes. Yes.
But what we all like to do is just, we'll cover up our inadequacies and say, well, it's just not the time. It's another day that God's going to do this. No, John said it's the last time 2,000 years ago. You see, I'm telling you, your covers is going to get too short. They're already gotten too short. There's parts of us sticking out we don't know sticking out, and some people's laughing at us. I'm telling you something. The world, the church has no effect in the world, hardly, because of the, we're sticking out all over what we're saying, but it ain't manifested. I need to be saved. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. But I'll tell you something. If sorrow's working in me, I need to be saved. If mortality's working in me, I need to be saved. Oh, well, we know that that's going to be... And you know what we do? We cover up for another day. I'm telling you something. Let's take the power, let's take the restraints off of the power of God when God raised Him from the dead. There ain't nothing else you're going to be able to identify with any time to get life. No other day, no other time will there be anything else to identify with. If you're not risen with Him, you're not risen. All right, let me just read it. Romans chapter 6. It said, likewise. You know what that means? Just like. Romans chapter 6. It's appointed to men once to die. Right? We all know that one pretty well. How many of you know that the rest of that verse says, so then, Jesus... I'm going to read Romans 6 here, but I had a preceding word that come here. And as it is appointed to men once to die, and after this the judgment, then it says, so Christ was once offered. And let me just say it like this. He died and met your appointment. You see, if He didn't die and meet your appointment, you have no forgiveness for sins. But if you have forgiveness for sins, why don't you let it do the job?
Yeah.
What we're saying is this. Here's what religion says. Yes, Jesus died and forgave us for sins, but we've still got to suffer the effects of them. Well, I tell you, that's a different gospel than I see. That's not the same gospel that I see. Here's the gospel that I see. He bore my sorrows. He was bruised for my iniquities. God, help me believe. Help me believe. What they're really saying is Jesus didn't fix it all yet. I want to tell you something. He fixed it all. He fixed every bit of it. And that door's been open to come out of here. The Bible said it like this in Proverbs chapter 15. The way of the wise is above, that he may depart from hell beneath. What it says. I like Brother Donnie said, I just quoted it. Go read it. It's there. I mean, I can turn to it. I didn't write it. It's there. You know, this is ours. All right, let's read here. Verse 8, if we be dead, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Well, somebody said the other day, they keep, resurrecting him. Jesus only offered once. Never will be offered again. It was sufficient. I'll tell you something. The high courts of heaven said it's sufficient. High courts of God said all that had happened, all the failure and everything that man lost, that Adam lost when he sinned, the high courts says it's balanced the scales. It's sufficient. He's redeemed us. But you know what? Religion won't let us accept it, won't let us walk in it. Our eyes get blinded. And the cares of life rob the seed and all kinds of things that unbelief, that the enchanter is yappity yappity yappy and related from pulpits all over the world as fast as he can to keep people from accepting and receiving the life of God. Just as fast, and they do it under the cloak of religion, under the cloak of a better day, another day. And I will tell you something, Jesus demonstrated in this life. And if the early church had just continued to walk in it, but instead they started like a, you know, a shot out of a cannon, and just then they just kind of get in slow motion until went right into the dark ages. Matter of fact, John said it, the Antichrist is already here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.